Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Tom, be prepared for, well, we're going into not necessarily unknown temperature territory. We have hit 114 on numerous occasions, but when we get to, if it goes to 115, now that gets a, you know.
It's starting to nudge our highest ever.
Which is 117. And I remember when that happened, I think it was like 10 years ago or something. I can remember driving back from the radio station here. It was 121 on the car thermometer.
Yikes. So, and yeah. These highest temperatures that we've achieved over the years has always been in June, right around this time, hasn't it?
Yeah, it does. It
gets things close to the longest day of the year.
Yeah, it gets it fired up for our summer rainy season, which could begin as early as Monday. There is a chance. I think they've put 20% chance in the forecast.
Fingers crossed.
We've got a ton of things to discuss on this program on this midweek edition, Wednesday, the 18th of June, 2025. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio at the Bustos Media Center here in central Tucson. We've got five radio stations under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for live trusted news and talk. And of course, you can listen to the program at kvoi.com and on my website, buckmastershow.com. That's also the place, my website, for all of our podcasts. If you miss any portion of the program, by about 6 o'clock that evening, we've got the program posted, and we've got 14 and a half years of content that is available for you. It's becoming an historic document, right? That many years? When we do our telephone interviews, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Folks that listen to this program know I rarely do a full hour with one individual. I have done it in the last few months with General Ted Maxwell. And I have a couple of reasons why I do a full hour with him, and it will become evident after I give you his bio. He is the Southern Arizona Leadership Council president and CEO, has been since 2018. He had nearly 34 years of military service, including 15 years in active duty in the Air Force, an additional 19 in the Arizona Air National Guard. He retired as a two-star general in 2018. His final military position was commander of the Arizona Air National Guard. This guy knows about leadership. It all started for him at the academy. We're talking about the Air Force Academy. Still likes to fly, pilots his own aircraft. Then it's becoming very evident that I needed more than 30 minutes with him because of his position on the 7-member Arizona State Transportation Board. He was appointed to that position in 2021 by Governor Ducey. He's also on the ADOT. He's the ADOT representative on the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors. And in addition to all that, if he wasn't busy enough, he's host of The Morning Voice each Tuesday morning on KVOI from 7 to 9. So just by giving his bio there, there's all sorts of areas that we need to cover, from the legislature to the local situation with so-called Project Blue, and on it goes, the RTA. So there's a lot to unpack. General, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill, and welcome back. It's good to be back on this side of the microphone in your show. We've got to keep working on you getting that introduction shorter, because it's the issues we need to get to.
Right.
I appreciate all that. And I'm a little nervous coming on with you for an hour this time, because you kind of laid it pretty strong that we're going to be able to fill it with a good show. And I've got a lot of papers
spread out.
And I don't know what way you're going.
Well, I'm going to go with the fact that you had a great trip. Why don't I start with that to Europe? You did a river cruise. And I understand that was put together by my friend Ryan Hansen and his team at Bon Voyage Travel.
It was. We've used Ryan and his team with Bon Voyage on several. They help us coordinate those kind of trips, especially the cruises. It's just such a great organization to work with, and they make it so special. And I'll tell you, it's the first time I've ever been on a riverboat cruise. We took my wife's dad and his wife, Kathy, and it's the first time they'd ever been in Europe.
And so, the water is very calm for those that have motion sickness issues.
It is truly amazing. And we did a couple of days. We did go to Dachau because we wanted to to get some reminder. That's a place if somebody hasn't been and you're in that area, it's not a place you're going to go walk out going, man, I'm really glad I did that. But you will be glad you did it when you as a reminder. And we spent a couple of days in Switzerland, which I've never been to Switzerland, despite living in Europe. That was amazing mountain views and the steepness of all those peaks is incredible. But the river cruise was the highlight. And we did a 7-day river cruise from Basel, Switzerland to Amsterdam. And I was able to prove that after 30 years when I used to be fluent in Dutch when I was stationed in the military in Belgium, that didn't go so well. Our ship captain was Dutch and it didn't quite work. But the trip itself was amazing. And I did not know if I'd like river cruising. But to your point, the waters are calm. We went through almost 20 locks as we were going from Basel. And so to watch how that process works, you know, for people who have been through the canal, they've probably seen it. I'd never seen it. I mean, knew of what a lock does, but never seen it. Amazing. Sure. And it was only 182 folks on the boat with you. And the biggest difference to me is a lot of times on the bigger ships, you spend a lot of the portion of the day cruising, and then you get off and you do some things, and then you get back on.
Sure.
This one, most of the cruising was at night, but there was some date scenic cruising that occurred too. And when you wake up in the morning, you're in a new town.
Yeah, there you go.
And they've got events for you to go see, you know. And we were really big on exploring any random churches we were getting, not just the famous ones, but any off the beaten, and the castles and the environment. And every community in Europe was it's different. Even in the majority of the stops, we were in France one day, 2 days in Netherlands, and the rest of the days we were really in Germany. It's always a reminder to me about how their communities are, and it's interesting to see some of the things they do. Now, you know, great
train systems. How were you treated as an American on this trip?
There was absolutely no pushback at all. It crossed our mind going there, you know, with everybody's, there's so much going on in the world right now, you know, what would it be like? But it was warm, receptive. I mean, obviously these communities thrive a lot on the industry of visitors, but they want to show off their countries. And it was very interesting because a lot of the tour guides we had who were German talk very bluntly about the differences between the two countries, about their strengths and weaknesses, and they weren't afraid to point out our strengths and weaknesses as well. But it was a great trip, and Bon Voyage is a great group to organize it. I know they're a big Buckmaster.
Yeah, they've been
supporter.
A great partner of ours. Were you living in Germany when you were in the Air Force for a time, or was it, Belgium in Brussels?
I was living in a little town called Calil, Belgium. It was on the eastern side. I was the Air Force exchange pilot with the F-16 flying wing of the Belgian Air Force that was at Kleinebrogel Air Basin.
Wow. What a great experience.
I was the only American. That's why I got the honor of going to language school for 6 months beforehand. So I was fluent in Dutch when I got over there.
Wow.
More fluent than my predecessor, the individual I was replacing, which got a little bit more warm embrace. but like everything, if you don't use a language, you lose it. And it was a wonderful experience. Traveled to a lot of places, but a lot of the places I went on this cruise, I'd never been to.
Yeah.
And I had never been to Switzerland. So it's always good if you have the opportunity to travel and see those places, and to watch two people who have never been to Europe see the fascination. It was just amazing.
Ted Maxwell is here. General Maxwell is CEO and president of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. And I wonder, your organization was backing this so-called Project Blue, which is a huge plans for a huge data center complex. And these are going up. They're all over North America, really, because let's face it, with AI, there's got to be a lot of computing. You've got to store a lot of this stuff. They use a lot of water and they use a lot of power. But what's your thinking on this?
Well, SALC is not in the economic development space, but we are in the public policy space, and we do support the startups and local business growth. But we also support the idea of our region has fallen behind in economic development versus Phoenix. And I don't want anybody who hears me say that I want to be like Phoenix. I don't. I'm never leaving Tucson. I live in Oro Valley, but I tell people every time I was in Germany, when somebody asked, where do you live? Mm-hmm. I said, Tucson, Arizona.
Right.
I love this place, but the challenges we are facing right now in our region, there's two ways to increase your revenues.
Mm-hmm.
One is through increasing the rate, and the other's increasing the volume.
Mm-hmm.
And we've relied in this community on increasing the rates. We keep adding a half cent here, a quarter cent here. We, you know, the property tax here or something. If we would start focusing on increasing the volume, the number of taxpayers we have,
mm-hmm.
and on properties and property taxes and business taxes, that is a great opportunity to drive that volume and get money. Data centers are a reality in our future. Every single one of us has one of these phones,
mm-hmm.
has access to improved AI and other programs and capabilities that require data and the ability to store, process, and compute data. This is a reality. Someplace you're going to have data centers.
Mm-hmm.
And they aren't bad for the overall environment if it's done properly.
Mm-hmm.
And what we believe is in Project Blue, the use of reclaimed water, the fact that they were willing to make such a large investment in the water, that I think the power is going to be a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a big issue anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the power needs are going up in our society as we become more electric,
mm-hmm.
as we become, you know, more green in some ways, requires more power. And whether the power is going to come from traditional sources, which some people are adamantly opposed to, or new green sources, mm-hmm. we've got to ensure that as the rest of society changes, we don't get left behind. And mm-hmm. I think Project Blue, my understanding and what I've seen about it, again, I'm not Project Blue is the code name for the discussions. I'm not read in on any of that, mm-hmm. but I do know what the organizations could bring here and potentially the long-term, the growth that it could help develop in this community. What people are missing is as a community, we push them away.
Mm-hmm.
How do we explain that to any other company that ever comes and looks here? How they'll see that, especially as we're going down the road on this, that, well, you guys, I don't like using the term business friendly. I've never met a politician that says they don't support education or they're not business friendly,
mm-hmm.
but it's an ease of business. You have to make a community easy for folks to go. I mean, we see companies and businesses closing down all the time now because they're struggling, and we hope somebody will come replace them.
All right. The vote on this was 3-2. Their supervisor, Matt Hines, after the news came out that TEP that announcement couldn't have come, I guess, at a worse time for a saying we're going to raise rates, residential rates, or hope to raise rates by 14%. Supervisor Hines would like to revisit his vote. He was voting in the affirmative in that 3-2.
Well, I wouldn't jump to any conclusions yet that Supervisor Hines is move to revisit it means he's a no.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that. There's a lot more conversation. I think what concerned him was how it looked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did go against some that support him and his idea. He saw the vision for the end game and what it could mean for the future of the region.
Mm-hmm.
That pipe they're talking about with the reclaimed water, it's not going to just get built. And this company was willing to come, or the developers willing to come in and build it. We've got so much reclaimed water that we're not making good use of. The more we can use reclaimed water, the more water we can leave in the ground.
Right.
You know, it's all one giant bucket. But I wouldn't jump to any conclusions yet. You know, it can't be revisited for 30 days.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that.
That's a requirement. You can't bring it back for 30 days. You've got to give dwell time for people to find out more information.
And it still has to be approved by the city, too.
that's phase two. There's a couple other hoops or things that have to be closed. As my understanding, there's still no specific contracts in place. And
mm-hmm.
and that's why a lot of the information is not releasable, because there's no contract set.
Mm-hmm.
So it's far from a completed, ready to go and announce and celebrate project. And then you saw the construction workers turn out in mass yesterday. They're looking for work.
Mm-hmm.
We've got so many companies that are based out of Tucson, Bill,
mm-hmm.
developers, construction, who are having to go outside of this region to find work. And if we didn't have needs, I'd say, okay, we're happy with where everything's good, but we have a lot of needs, and you've seen it even in the most recent requests from and concerns on, are we going to, you know, are we going to have a regional transportation authority reauthorization? Are we going 414, you know, did not get it. There's not, and this economic uncertainty is not the time to close your doors on options for economic growth and development.
All right, let's take a break right here. More with General Ted Maxwell from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. 790-2040 if you would like to join in this conversation. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Be right back.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. There is a lot of emotion, General Ted Maxwell, around Project Blue, especially after TEP announced there would be a 14. They would try to get a 14% rate increase for residential water. We had a listener during the break who sent me a message. And the question for you is the Southern Arizona Leadership Council in the business of in need of conserving water in the desert business, or are they just about money?
That's a good question, but I can give a real straight answer. We're not just about money. We're about economic development, jobs, growth, and opportunity. We have a lot of our unemployment rates, our poverty rates, everything. A lot of our economic indicators in the city of Tucson and in Pima County are horribly low or higher, depending what the number is you're looking at, but not on the good side. When we compare ourselves on the map dashboard with 12 like communities, on a lot of those, particularly poverty, particularly job opportunities, particularly openings, we are near the bottom. Mm-hmm. So what we were talking about with this is an opportunity to start the growth and development. We believe the solution to poverty, to homelessness, to crime, to quality of life is through jobs and opportunity. But on the waterfront, mm-hmm. SALC has been a leader on trying to work towards conservation and good use of water. Matter of fact, I wasn't at the Board of Supervisors here yesterday because I was on the Arizona Reconsultation Committee, which I serve on, hearing from the, I believe it was the undersecretary for the Department of Reclamation, mm-hmm. who was giving us what the current state of the Colorado River is. Mm-hmm. And it is potentially dire. Mm-hmm. Things, this has not been good. We need a big monsoon. We need big snowfall. There are other things. But we are constantly working on how we can make good use of the water we have in the desert. Just because we're the desert, we cannot take the position that we don't have enough water, so we're going to do nothing. Mm-hmm. You can go over to the Middle East. You can go over to a lot of other desert areas that are desert climates, and there's ways to do it. As a country, we have a lot of water. Mm-hmm. I've often said we've got a water transportation problem. Mm-hmm. We've got states that can't use all the water they've right. got. We've got to get it to where we want. I mean, we pipeline crude oil from Alaska to the Gulf of Mexico before we even start refining it. Mm-hmm. Once the value of water is at the point and recognized and the need, we're going to come up with solutions to that. And the fact of the matter on that front is during the recent Colorado River discussions was the first time we actually put a value on water. Mm-hmm. How much were we going to pay the tribes? How much were we going to pay the farmers to not use the water that they by right are entitled to, but to leave it in the Colorado. They showed a chart at this meeting yesterday, Bill, that showed since, I want to say it was 1992, if we had not implemented water conservation issues on the Colorado, Lake Mead would be 214 feet lower right
now. Wow.
It would already be in Deadpool.
You said it's dire? Is that what you're saying?
The Colorado River is a dire situation. We have to keep working on it. Mm-hmm. We have to keep, and the most important thing for us is getting a 7-state agreement. The upper basin states and the lower basin states have to come up with an agreement of what comes next when it comes to the rivers, the waters that are flowing down the Colorado River. And it even impacts Mexico mm-hmm. because some of that water goes down into Mexico.
How about this listener saying, what about this whopping 75 jobs for Project Blue?
75. The thing to remember about the 75 is the 75 is the number of jobs that the county is going to use to hold them accountable for. If they don't meet those minimums, then there's going to be clawbacks or there's could be other. And I don't know what the rules are because, again, we're not part of that conversation. But that location, that site, with the water that they're going to be able to get there through reclamation, through reclaimed water that's being bought and purchased by the companies, that's just the start. And 75 is what they've agreed to. There's also bigger numbers you see with a lower average. Mm-hmm. That is part of the contract negotiation that they're going to enter. The fact of the matter is there can be a lot more. Now, data centers aren't like a manufacturing warehouse or there's truth to that. They don't mm-hmm. bring as many jobs as that. But if this project rolls, mm-hmm. there's a high probability, assuming it gets all the way to its completion, that there will be a lot more jobs in that region in the Southeast than 75.
Mm-hmm. 790-2040 is our live line number. Getting some response. This is a hot topic, obviously.
Just a little.
A little bit. It's a red hot topic, and it was the timing of the TEP announcement couldn't be worse about a rate increase. So the city will have to sign off on, I think they're not even going to meet till August on this.
That's correct. They don't meet till August.
So a lot could happen.
There's time in there. It looks like Supervisor Scott has either already made, or sorry, Supervisor mm-hmm. Hines has already made or is going to make the request for reconsideration, which he mm-hmm. can do as one of the yes votes. He can have the topic brought back up for reconsideration. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll see supervisors intentionally vote on the yes side, especially if it's a 4-1
sure,
vote.
Sure.
Somebody might vote yes so that if more information comes out,
right.
they can call for a reconsideration. That mm-hmm. still needs to be voted and mm-hmm. approved and gone forward. But the city still holds the final cards, because a big piece of this, and a ton of this, I just learned from listening to the issue yesterday on the recording of the Board of Supervisors meeting. The big issue is the city, to get that amount of reclaimed water that they're going to use, the city has to agree to annex that part of land into the city of Tucson. Mm-hmm. The city of Tucson will benefit from the revenues generated, from the taxation, from the water. There will be a lot of benefit for the city of Tucson, but that mayor and council still has the opportunity to do it. I believe that they've got some strong supporters on that who understand the benefit of both building the pie of revenue in the city of Tucson, as well as bringing in additional jobs, and more importantly, opportunities.
All right. General Maxwell, sorry to cut you off there, but we are up against a hard break. And Debbie is with us on line one. Debbie, we're not going to be able to get to your question. So if we can hold you through the CBS break here at the bottom of the hour, and 790-2040, Hot Topic Project Blue. Also, we want to address what's going on with the Regional Transportation Authority, RTA, next. So there's still a lot of discussion here on the Buckmaster Show with General Ted Maxwell from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. We will take our break right here and then be back with General Maxwell.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau, serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. I know it's going to be really hot this week, but believe it or not, there are plants that love this kind of weather, and they've got them at Green Things. So just check it out. So you'll be ready when the rains come, hopefully in a week or so. We'll get through this really hot weather, and then we'll have some good rains coming in. We can keep our fingers crossed. Their 13-acre site is also home to Zocalo Village, all of that great pottery. In fact, they are saying, and I believe them, that they have the largest selection of pottery in the state of Arizona at Green Things. Their website is greenthingsaz.com, voted Tucson's best garden center, and the sister business, Zocalo Village, zocalovillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. General Ted Maxwell leads the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. He's president and CEO. He's been there since 2018. Also, he's a member of the 7-member Arizona State Transportation Board. And because of that position, he is also one of the 9 members on the Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors. And we will get to the situation with RTA and the RTA next during the next half hour. But right now, we're still talking about Project Blue. There's so much interest in this. The Board of Supervisors, by a 3-2 vote, approved the sale of a 290-acre parcel of land on the far southeast side for a multi-billion dollar data center complex. Let's go to the live line. Debbie has called us, and she has a water-related question for General Maxwell. Go ahead, Debbie.
Thanks, Bill. Hi, Ted. I may be connecting 2 themes that aren't actually connected, so forgive me if I'm confused, but it seemed like you were talking about, first you were talking about we need to use more reclaimed water, and we need to be creating more reclaimed water, you know, maybe getting more water other ways. I don't know if you were hinting at desalinization or something like that, and then you also talked about raising water rates, and then you also talked about this new Project Blue that's going to be using reclaimed water. My first question that I had that was really important to me is, how do we really know that they're using reclaimed water? Can they prove that to us?
Well, Debbie, that's a great question. I didn't talk at all about the water rate, so if I slipped some confusion on some of my words there, I apologize for that. But
okay.
To me, I actually believe, this is Ted Maxwell speaking, not SALC speaking per se or any organization, I believe the use of reclaimed water is one of our biggest future ways of solving a lot of the water problems we have right now. I think the technology is theirs to clean our water, our reclaimed water to be potable, is already exist. I think it's something we as humans need to get away from. I mean, they do it all the time in space. They reuse all their bodily fluids.
Sure.
There's so many things we can do that will help. I do believe very strongly that reclaimed water and our usage for that will solve a lot of the issues, or at least mitigate a lot of the shortages we have for water. Now, as far as Project Blue, my understanding, they're going to need to use water from the city of Tucson that's supplied to them initially. Why they build I believe it's an 18-mile reclaimed water pipeline, a purple pipeline. That's why they call it purple, for it identifies its reclaimed water. And once they do that, then we will absolutely be able to verify they're using reclaimed water, because it's going to be being supplied to them by the city of Tucson.
Okay.
So there won't even be a question on that front. I appreciate the question. Is there a part of your question I didn't give you a little bit of an answer?
No, I think you mentioned it. I must have imagined the part about the water rates.
Well,
okay, thank you.
I appreciate you staying on, because I told Bill in the break I want to address the Colorado River water situation again, because I had said, use the word dire.
Yes.
What I meant was, it's not looking good, the trend. The trend for, you know, since Senator Sinema helped us get funding and opportunities to get the current rights holders of the Arizona-Colorado River water to leave some of it in the lake, we've literally raised 83 feet. We've got 83 feet more of water of the entire lake. That's just a ton of water that's back in the lake. And we've gotten ourselves out of what was called a tier 1 shortage. Right now, with the trends on the snowfall, the snow melt and the water coming from the caps, it looks like almost 100% will be back in a tier two shortage on the Colorado or in Lake Mead starting in 2026. So that's why I said it's the trend is dry.
And I don't think we were addressing water rates. What we were addressing was power rates from TEP. And they said that they are looking at, and will go to the Arizona Corporation Commission, Debbie, for a 14% rate increase for you and me, the residential rate holders. But we were not talking about water rate increases. So there's really a couple of issues here with Project Blue that are stirring the concern. One is the use of the reclaimed water, and then it's the power that will be needed to run these data centers. That's to clarify the situation.
The truth is, any growth or any business that comes in here, any business is going to have energy requirements, mm-hmm. and they're going to have water requirements. We all, as human beings, have energy and water requirements. So we have to make sure we understand what that's going to look like for any company getting here. And I truly understand that people are concerned that data centers use a lot of water, but data centers also impact our quality of life in throughout the world, and the needs as we move forward with technology are going to be greater in that front. This is an opportunity for us to get a win, to create jobs, to show that this region wants to lean forward on modern technologies, and we want to bring companies here, because right now we go back to our poverty rates are low, the amount of jobs we've got for people who are able to work and want to work and can work, and most people do. This our country is a country that's been built on opportunity. The reason folks want to come here, a lot of people like to focus, they're trying to leave bad situations. There's a piece of it to that. But the other reason people want to migrate to our country is America is known throughout the world as a land of opportunity. And if you look at a lot of the immigrants that have moved and become integrated in our society, they're running their own businesses because you can do that in our country.
Let's transition, General Maxwell, to the Southern Arizona Leadership Council's position on the RTA Next. In other words, the 20-year program is expiring. Has your organization gone on the record saying we need RTA Next?
I'd say we absolutely have. And the interesting part about it is everybody goes, oh, so you approve the plan as it is yet? No, we don't have a plan.
No.
We've got a proposed plan. But SALC... RTA Next is probably one of our number one, if not the number one issue that we need to see be addressed. Mm-hmm. Regional transportation funding is critical. Regional transportation coordination is critical. And the RTA, the Regional Transportation Authority and PAG, is what ensures we have that regional collaboration.
Right.
So we feel very strongly that not only do we need it for the continued coordination and transportation improvements and transit improvements. So, I mean, when I say transportation, I'm thinking all the different ways we get around in society. But we also know that without the funding that comes with that, without this voters' willingness, which they were willing 20 years ago to approve a half percent sales tax, without that, it's very difficult. And I think we've talked about it before, Bill, is what they're facing up on SR 347 near the city of Maricopa. They've outgrown that road.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a regional transportation way. They're fighting, they're battling, they're competing with every other city, not in Maricopa or not in Pima. What sets our two communities apart is our regional transportation system. So we are huge supporters of the RTA.
All right, let's take the break right here. Then we're going to take a little deeper dive. There's new leadership at the RTA. How will that affect pushing this over the goal line? The goal line would be getting this before the voters next year. General Ted Maxwell sticks around for another segment, for segment four, right after this.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show midweek edition. By the way, we've been talking a lot about Project Blue. Rex Scott, Pima County's Board of Supervisors Chairman, will be joining me tomorrow on our program. And then our Friday Focus interview, what's going on with the budget? The Assistant Minority Leader, Nancy Gutierrez, State Representative, is scheduled to be with us. So, got a lot going on here on the Buckmaster Show. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great getaway. It's 90 degrees over there. That's not too bad considering we're going to be pushing 100, around 110 here. So that, by my math, I didn't do all that great in math. That was not my strong suit. But that's 20 degrees. Well, by the time the highs come in, probably at least 15 degrees cooler over in Silver City, which makes it worth the three-hour drive, I-10 Lawrenceburg, take a left, go up the mountain to 5,000 to 7,000 foot elevation, and it will be cooler there. Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org, O-R-G, is where to find all sorts of information about your planning. All right, General Ted Maxwell is with us. General Maxwell from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, and he's also a very popular radio host. His show has been very much welcomed by our community. He's on from 7 to 9 in the morning voice here on KVOI. And as General Maxwell, as you know, the thing I like about, one of the things I love about noon, it's the noontime drive time. How many people, I know you know this, are in and out of the car during the noon hour?
Oh, I mean, you could just imagine. It's just crazy. And that's that's been the biggest change for us. You know, the Morning Voice is five hosts, five different days. I host Tuesday, and we focus on civic engagement and people getting involved. So a lot of politics, a lot of support for, I had Amanda Wiggins on yesterday with the Marana Chamber, and in the morning had former Mayor Paul Johnson from Phoenix and Larry Aldridge, one of the founders of SALC, come on, talk about a new book they had wrote. So it's good radio, but it's different because I know people are coming in, and it's a challenge because I know they may only be with us for 20 minutes.
Well, that's it. And that's
and then they're gone.
And that's the same way with the noon hour. And that's why it's important to introduce, well, who's Bill talking to? Somebody may have just jumped in the car. They've been at a meeting. And I'm talking to General Ted Maxwell, and I did identify him as the president and CEO of Southern Arizona Leadership Council. And we're going to continue our discussion about his role because he is the on the seven-member Arizona State Transportation Board, known as ADOT. He gets a seat on the nine-member Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors, which has quite a task ahead of them as they try to craft a new 20-year program to put before the voters next year to extend the 20-year RTA program. And there is new leadership, someone that we in the media know very well, and you know him very well, Mike Ortega, the former Tucson city manager, is now taken over as the head of the RTA.
And I'll tell
you— And I assume the Pima Council—
He does. It's dual. He is an interim
PAG.
Interim executive director for the Pima Association of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority. Kind of ironic saying interim because we've told them it's going to be at least 9 months.
Yeah,
that will line up with the RTA election in March. Mm. The biggest challenge is for the last several months, we have not gotten a lot done as far as moving forward. I mean, we knew we were on a time crunch last September when we put the current proposed plan out for community input. And it was shortly after that there was changes, both the passing of Mayor Honey, which was tragic, and lost a good friend that day.
How's Mayor Post doing over there?
He's doing wonderful. And he's all engaged in the RTA. He's all in. He knows the benefit for the region, the benefit for Marana. But we had some changes, and then we got caught up in what I'd call a leadership challenge. Mm-hmm. And as it worked out, ended up working out, if you want to say working out, executive director Mogimi was let go by the board. And then it took, again, more delay where we couldn't focus on getting an RTA. But at the last board meeting, I would say it was probably one of the most positive steps I've seen. Now, that could last one board meeting, could last four board meetings, but I left that meeting with a positive hope because the board came around and unanimously selected Mike Ortega. I've read a lot of the media out there, you know, saying, oh, well, look at that. You know, Mayor Romero and the city council got their person now that would look out what's coming there. That's not true with Mike Ortega. Mike Ortega's history of working transportation issues from the county to both Pima County, Cochise County. He's been the city manager, but he is well respected by all of the municipalities, including the town managers, you know, from Sarita, from Marana, from Orbea, they all appreciate him. It was a unanimous vote.
Okay.
The motion to elect him was made, I believe, by Mayor Murphy, seconded by Mayor Winfield. And that should tell you something, because though they had been supportive of keeping, you know, Executive Director Mogimi on.
How does Mike move the ball forward here?
Well, the biggest thing he's going to do is he's going to take, I'm assuming he's going to take a quick look once they iron out the details and see if he needs to pull anybody else in to help him. But there's already movement being discussed on the RTA 1 projects. One of the big things you hear all the time is, how can you go ask the voters for more money when you haven't finished the RTA 1?
Exactly.
Well, here's something for people to think about. At the last meeting, one of the last questions asked during the RTA meeting was from Supervisor Hines, and I appreciated him asking this question. He asked Rick Ellis, said, of the projects, other than the four we've already moved into the RTA next, of the remaining projects, how many of them have begun work? We keep hearing, oh, we've only accomplished 18 of, you know, 35. Mm-hmm. We've moved four, so 18 of 31. And Rick Ellis said, we have started on all of them.
Really?
That doesn't mean we've dug dirt.
No.
That means they're in design or they've got designs. But the biggest issue is one of the things that Dave Alter, who's the deputy director of PAG RTA, and he's filling that role until we can get Mike on board, said very clearly they're going to start working right now to really verify all the numbers of the actual costs required for completion. The technical management committee met in May. They went through all of them, and of the 18 remaining projects out there, or the 18 16, there's eight of them that have no impediments to getting done. There's five that have some medium level of concern, and there's six of them that they said we've got some serious concern, and one of those being funding. Mm-hmm. But there's been a lot of discussion on the current shortfall of $143 million. Doesn't appear to really be $143 million. It looks like it's $123 million just on a math mistake that was made. And then taking a look at what really needs to be done to complete these projects and how they are, and the city of Tucson has come forward with some alternatives. My point is, the number may be much smaller than that. And I think you're going to find very quickly, so Mike will come in, and if he needs somebody else who's an expert on that to help him out with it, they'll get, I hope they'll get to the point where we're going, okay, here's the plan. Because once we say a plan, the idea that we have to build these all out, even right now on today's timeline, they're not going to all be done by May of 26.
No, they aren't.
We know that this, but the money is there. And if the money's not there, how can we get the money there? And it's either change the some of the scope or some of the stuff going in, or it's figure out how we can take get some alternative sources of money. Once we can just say, and when Mike Ortega stands up in the region and says, I'm confident that this is going to happen. Guess what? He's got instant credibility, not only inside the city of Tucson, but he's also got credibility with all the other municipalities.
Yes, he does.
And then we've got 2 months, 2 months to get a plan. And get a voted plan that we can send to the Board of Supervisors at their September 16th meeting that will be on the ballot in March. And there's a lot of opportunities there. The the public sentiment is talks a lot about arterial reconstruction. We've talked about that, the ability to rebuild some of the arterial roads inside the city of Tucson. And I know the county's looking for some of that. We need to figure out how to move it. That was a lot of the feedback we got in the survey. But it was also feedback that was very direct in a poll that conducted an SLC with six other business entities and organizations, hired Noble Predictive Insights to do a poll. And the poll made a couple things very clear. Number one concern is improve the arterials, the roads that people use every day. We need to improve it. That's their number one priority. Number two priority is expanding efficiency on those roads, either through increased lanes or opportunities to streamline the flow of traffic. And then number three was transit. Continue to support transit. And that was true in every single municipality, not just Pima countywide.
That's the first I've heard about that poll. I know Mike Noble, and he does a great job at Noble Predictive Insight. I think he's the best pollster, certainly in the Southwest.
Yeah, he did a great job.
I've had him on the show a couple of times. He does a great job.
He does a great job for us. They're ready to do follow-up polling as well.
Wow.
The reason you haven't heard about it, Bill, is because there was so much other issues being discussed around RTA, the situation with the executive director, the changing, you know, leadership roles, you know, we didn't want it to get lost. Now is the time. You're going to hear from the entities, the organizations, both that funded it and that believe in the RTA. And we're very confident that this shows exactly what we've been talking about. And it mirrors what you hear. People think the RTA is responsible for all the potholes. We're not.
Right.
But we've got a piece of the solution. We can ask you to either say, do we want to continue to focus on a regional approach through a half-cent sales tax in March? And it's not RTA Next is not RTA One. It's not. Some people have said, why would we do it the way we did it 20 years ago? It's
going to be a different approach, right? We've got
that arterial reconstruction there that didn't exist 20 years ago.
All right. Out of time. General Ted Maxwell, always a pleasure.
Time flies,
Bill. I know it does. We'll look for your work on KVOI Tuesday from 7 to 9 on The Morning Voice. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of General Ted Maxwell and Tom, engineering and producing our show, everybody stay cool, keep hydrated, and we'll be back with you in 23 hours.